James chapter 1, verse number 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Heavenly Father, I ask, Lord, that you would help us tonight, Lord, just to gain some practical principles, Lord, that will help us to live more like Jesus. Lord, live a life that's more pleasing to you. And Lord, live a life that is a good testimony to those around us. So Lord, help us. We want to, Lord. We want to do right. We want to please you. And Lord, so help us to be better equipped to do that tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. All right, insulating yourself against temptation. You know, I had a discussion with a new convert, and they had been battling with a certain sin in their life. It seemed like when the devil brought this temptation, it was just one of those things that was really hard for them. And they came into church so excited one time, they said, you know what, preacher, I faced a temptation, and you know what, I didn't give in to it. And man, that was a great feeling. That was a great feeling. And you know, it is. You know, one man said this, we can never be sinless, but we can sin less. And so I think that's the goal. We know that we're not going to be perfect, but we do want to do the best we can for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I explained to that new convert this. I said, you know, it is a wonderful thing to face temptation and then overcome it. But I said, the best thing to do is to learn how to avoid the temptation in the first place. And I guess that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I figure it this way, you know, the less temptation that you have, the less chance to give in to it. And I do think there's some wonderful Bible principles that help us to know how to just foresee the evil and hide ourselves, to use prudence in this matter of living. And so that's what we're going to study tonight. And I'll just, again, I think this will be helpful. It'll be practical. There may just be one of these tonight that you just kind of latch on to and say, boy, I needed that. And maybe you're more in a beginning and you're facing some things and you'll need this outline. I promise you, if you do these things on a regular basis, it will help you in this matter of avoiding temptation and therefore avoiding sin. Let me have you go to Romans chapter number 7, because the first thing I want to share with you and the first thing we all have to understand about ourselves is this. We have to understand our dual nature. Understand our dual nature. In Romans chapter 7, we have under the inspiration of God, Brother Paul writes very transparently about the battle that he fights in his life. And I'm glad, because it helps us. This is one of the greatest Christians in the world. But you know what? He had a dual nature too, and he had to fight some battles within himself. Romans 7, verse 18, for I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. He says, I want to. You ever had that discouraging moment where you're saying to the Lord, Lord, I want so bad to do right. Why is it that sometimes I just can't or won't do right? He says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. And that's talking about his sin nature. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. And then the frustration, oh wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Wait a minute. God didn't leave us frustrated. He gave us an answer. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. And I think later on we read, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. I thank God through Jesus Christ. And one of the things that I think all of us have to be honest about and understand about ourselves is that we have this dual nature. Our flesh and our newborn spirit struggle against each other. And you've got the new man born in Jesus Christ, that born again experience, that new spirit. But that doesn't mean that the flesh is gone, the old man's not there. So we have a dual nature. Paul is not saying we must live that because of that, we must live a dual life. He is saying that we are now presented with a choice. We can have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now say, why is this important? Because you have to understand, and boy, this is good for all of our young people to hear, even the pastor say this. You know, at times, you're not going to feel like doing right. You know, you're just not going to feel like it. You're not going to want to do right. There's going to be times you want to do the wrong thing. But that's why we spend so much time in this pulpit trying to teach our folks that, you know what, I'm sorry, but we cannot live on feelings. You know, if you let emotions in the driver's seat of your life, I mean, you're going to be up one day and down the next. You're going to be living for God one day and living for the devil the next. Because we all battle this same thing. And you have to understand, you preacher, I don't know what it is. I'm ashamed to say it. Sometimes I don't want to go to church. You know what? Sometimes I don't want to go to church. Preacher, I don't want to read my Bible. Sometimes I don't. And that's honestly, it's not that, not always. But there's times I just think to myself, oh, okay, I got so much to do. And you know, it's just, listen, we all fight the same thing. And you know what? Understand it. Understand it. You're going to battle this thing till Jesus comes. Okay, your flesh isn't going to give up. That's why Paul wrote, I die daily. You have to crucify that flesh. You have to say, flesh, shut up. You know what, flesh? You're not running this thing. And I have the Holy Spirit inside of me that can help me and give me the victory. And I'm going to lean on the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not letting the flesh or the emotions in the driver's seat of my life just because I don't feel like doing it. If it's the right thing to do, but with God's help, I'm going to do it. And you know what? When you start doing the right thing, even though you didn't feel like it, you're always glad that you did. You're always glad that you did. And so, number one, understand your dual nature. I'm going to give you these quickly. Number two, let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Number two, identify your weights and besetting sins. Identify your weights and besetting sins. And I say yours because, you know what, everybody in here is different. Everybody in here battles different things. And it's important that you know yourself. Hebrews chapter 12. Verse number one, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us, here it is, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, we're going through a process. All right, first of all, I've got a dual nature. And so you know what? The old flesh is going to always want to do what's right. You know, but you know what? I'm not going to let it control my life. I'm going to crucify the flesh, but I also need to understand me, and this is individual. Each individual has to figure this out. I have weights that hold me back, and I have a besetting sin or some besetting sins that, now, so preacher, what's the difference between those two? Well, weights are not sins, but things that make running your race impossible or difficult. These are to be laid aside. And this isn't necessarily a sinful thing. This is just something that's hindering you. You know what? Maybe it doesn't bother somebody else. And by the way, listen to me. Just because something holds you back, you got to be very careful that you're not judging a brother who may do the same thing and it doesn't hold them back from living the Christian life. And again, we're not talking sin here. We're not making excuses for sin. You know, there's some things that I just have kind of had to check out of. You know what? They're just not good for me. It may be somebody else that can enjoy those things, and it's fine with them. It's just a weight in my life, and so I need to lay that aside. Now, besetting sin are a sin or sins that an individual is the most susceptible to. And so you got to figure out your weak spots, if you will. Your besetting sin needs to be identified, and then it can be guarded against, all right? And again, these are different for different people. I know people that one of their besetting sins is that they just have a temper. They just get mad so easy. And you know what? There may be another Christian. You can do everything in the world, and it just, you can't get them mad. You can't get them mad. You know why? That's not their big problem area. But their problem area may be, you know what, envy or covetousness, where they just battle when they see stuff that they really don't need, or they see somebody else has something or get to do something, they just fight that, where maybe the guy that gets mad, that don't bother him a bit. And so what we have to do is say, you know, where's my problem? Where does the devil seem like he always gets me off on the wrong track and thinking the wrong things and focusing on? And then you have to understand, okay, you know what I'm going to have to do? I'm probably going to have to guard more carefully in that area of my life than somebody else that's not really bothered by this. I've got to reinforce some things. So understand your dual nature and then identify your weights and besetting sins. Romans 13, let's go there. I want you to see the verses tonight. Romans 13 and verse number 14. All right, preacher, I understand I've got this battle and it's not going away. And I also understand I need to kind of learn about what are the things that prevent me or get in my way, that maybe are weights. What are the things that are a real problem as far as a besetting sin in my life? Now what do I do? I've got those down. Now what do I do? Romans 13, 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Didn't he say, thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ? So put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is so important, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, okay, you've got to get rid of provisions. I think I preached this a while back, but you know what? When they decided that they were going to defeat Jericho, the first thing they did was encompass the city round about. And, you know, we would call it in military terms, they laid siege to the city. Well, why would they encompass it all the way around? Why didn't they just cover one side of it? Because they wanted to keep supplies from going in. If you're going to defeat an enemy, you've got to keep cut off the supply chain. As long as there's a supply chain, then you know what? You're going to have a hard time getting that thing weakened down to where it can be defeated. Now, this is what you've got to look at and say, you know what? There is a besetting sin in my life. And what I've got to do is I've got to make sure I don't make provisions for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. So what I've got to do is make sure that nothing is there to encourage that sin or feed that sin, that I don't allow myself any access to anything in that area of my life. Get rid of your provisions. Now, it's one thing to say I want to have victory over this sin. It's another thing to have your house stockpiled with things that feed that sin. Okay, it's like a guy that says, well, you know what, I'm going to kick alcohol, but every day for supper he goes down to the bar and orders a sandwich and sits right there with everybody drinking around him. You're probably going to order something before you get out of there. You know, go somewhere else or stay home and eat a bologna sandwich. But, you know, if you've got to figure out where that is. A provision is anything that you have access to that makes it easier for you to do, see, hear, or partake of things you should not. If you're going to overcome the sins of the flesh, you need to build barriers of protection against those things. And so that's why when I counsel young people and they're battling a particular sin, the first thing I tell them is, you know what, if you're wanting victory over this sin, you got to get it out of your life. You got to get rid of it. Sometimes we'll have young people come and say, you know, preacher, I've been battling the wrong kind of music. And so I come to the altar and I'm giving that stuff up. And so they go home and they put it all in a box and they slide it under their bed. Well, I promise you, remember that old week, we're going to have a weak time. That flesh isn't always going to want to do. Something's going to happen at church or at home, and you're going to get mad, and you're going to be in the wrong spirit. And I just need, well, it's if it's there, you're probably going to go back to it. And so, you know what? You don't put it in a box and slide it under your bed. You put it in a box and take it out to the burn barrel, and you pour some gasoline on it, if you're a child, with your parent's supervision, and you burn it, okay? Now, listen, that does not give you permission to burn your brother or your sister. You say, but they are the weight, preacher. They are the weight that keeps me from running the race. You cannot do, no, get that out of your mind. And so, but that's why you got to, you know, someone says, well, I'm going to change my dress or I'm going to change my friends. Well, if you're going to change anything, you've got to build barriers. You know, if you've got somebody that's got access to you that's a bad influence, then you've got to cut off access. You've got to cut it off. And, you know, well, I don't want them to be mad at me. Well, you know what? Do you want them to be mad at you or do you want to please the Lord? And I think, you know what, you can do it in such a way where you can, you know what, just go to that person and say, I don't think you're a bad person. I just think we're bad together. And for whatever reason, I bring out the worst in you and you bring out the worst in me. And you know what, I'm going to pray for you. You pray for me, but I'm moving on. And that's tough. Well, you know what, living for the Lord means sometimes you have to do the tough thing. You have to do the hard thing. I mean, if every time you hang around a certain person, you find yourself talking in a way you shouldn't and doing something that you shouldn't do, I'm not even saying to blame them. I'm saying, you know what, that's not a good association. That's not helping you. And so how do you make no provision for the flesh? You get rid of those things, you know. Get them out of your life. And by the way, in this matter of making no provision for the flesh, remember, rules are your friends. Rules are your friends. Young people, you know what a lot of the rules your parents have given you is just to keep you away from the things that encourage you to do the wrong things. Don't fight rules. You say, I'll be glad when I grow up and I don't have any rules. If you grow up and you don't have any rules, you're going to be a shipwreck. You know what growing up is? Growing up isn't getting to the point where you don't have rules. Growing up is getting to the point where you pass your own rules and keep them. That's maturity. Okay? It's not a matter of I can't wait to get out of here because then I can do what I want to. You know what? You may get out of the house, but you haven't grown up. Because a maturity is not needing mom and dad to make rules that are good for you. You make the rules that are good for you. And you know what? Don't be deceitful. Don't deceive yourself. If you've got besetting sins, you say, well, one of these days I'm going to be able to have this, that, the other. Yeah, and if you get the wrong things, you can self-destruct. So remember, pass some rules. Rules are your friends. Live by principles. Say, what are rules? You know, I call it a code of honor. Living by Bible principles. You know what? You have to set some things up in your life. Set some rules for yourself. It's called self-discipline. It's called, with the help of God, I'm going to overcome these things and I'm going to build barriers in my life. Remember what I talk about. Don't live by pressure. Live by principles. Don't live by pressure. People will try to pressure you into doing the wrong things. If I have a principle of life, I don't care who's pressuring me to set aside that principle. I don't live by pressure. I live by principle. Okay? I'm not going to throw away my principles to keep you happy, and you shouldn't throw away your principles to keep me happy. The thing about it is, when people are trying to pressure you into setting aside your principles, then that's, again, and remember, folks, listen, somebody may have set a strict standard in their life over here that you don't, doesn't even make sense to you. Remember, they're different. They have to learn themselves. When you go and you try to get them to tear that down, or you make that sound extreme, or you discourage them in that, you may be partially responsible for them shipwrecking. You know what? If they have a problem in that area of their life and they need tighter controls in their life, in that area of their life, and maybe you don't. Listen, I always say this. If anybody has a stronger conviction or a stronger standard in any area of their life than I don't do anything but encourage that. Okay? Don't put down people that draw tighter lines than you do. My honest truth is, not only do I not try to talk them out of it, usually I'm convicted by it. I'll just be honest with you. Usually I'm a little convicted by it. It makes me step back and say, should I tighten things up in my life? But again, I have to learn me. They have to learn them. I may look at them and say, well, that seems a little extreme. I don't know. I wouldn't have to have that. Well, you're not them. Okay, so, you know, just be respectful of where people draw lines and understand that people have different backgrounds. You know, they ran into that a lot when the gospel went to the Gentiles. And you know what? They had to come back and reevaluate some things because some of the things that the Jewish people were not confronted with when they were getting into these other cities and these other backgrounds and pagan practices, something that may not have been a big deal to a Jew was a big deal. That's why Paul said, listen, man, I'm not going to put a stumbling block in front of a weaker brother. You know what? If there's a problem with this man, see, you know, the Jewish person, you know what, whatever, you know, okay. Paul said, you know what? It didn't bother me to eat meat. Offered idols, didn't bother me. He said, it's meat. I just pray over it and ask God's blessing, and man, it's meat. I'm eating it, you know. But there's somebody else that was saved out of that idol worship, that's a problem to them. And he says, hey, if that's a problem to them, I won't eat the meat. You see what I'm saying here? Okay, and so, you know, he's not going to do something in their presence that would cause them to stumble. And so, you know, everybody's got to figure this out for them, but then we got to show enough grace to each other where we don't cause a weaker brother to stumble. Neither do we walk around condemning everybody that doesn't draw as tight as lines as we do in areas of our life. So we're talking about making no provision for the flesh. So you have to go through that, okay? Okay, I'm struggling with this sin in my life. What is feeding that? What is creating temptation? What barriers do I need to put up in my life so that that protects me from those temptations? And if I don't have to face the temptation, I'm probably not going to give in to it, obviously. And so make no provision for your flesh. Now, let me take you to Matthew chapter 6. What's the next thing? Matthew chapter number 6. We're just talking about good Bible principles that'll help insulate you against temptation. Matthew chapter number 6. And if you will, look at the Lord's Prayer there. Matthew chapter number 6. I think it begins in verse number 12. Matthew chapter 6. Well, it's verse number 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And by the way, the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray. So he said, all right, I'll give you a beginner prayer. I'll give you a model prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Very important. We're talking about this matter of temptation. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And number 4, we must pray to be delivered from temptation. I think that's a wonderful prayer to pray every single morning before you leave the house. Lord, lead us not into temptation. Luke 22:40 says, and when he was at that place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. You know, the best way to overcome temptation is to avoid it in the first place. The Bible commands us to pray not to be led into temptation. I don't want to just pray, Lord, help me to be strong enough to stand up to temptation when it comes. I would say, Lord, if it's possible, if you could direct me around this as much as possible and help me not to be led to it. Jesus instructed his disciples to pray that you enter not into temptation. Insulating yourself against temptation, I believe, begins with prayer. It begins with prayer. See, a prayerless Christian is an easy target for the devil. It's just true. Prayer strengthens us spiritually, keeps us in tune with God. If we place this prayer request on our daily prayer list, and by the way, it's not wrong to pray for yourself. I pray for myself because you know what? I want to do right and I want to live for the Lord and I want to be the best I can. I want to be an encouragement to people. And so I ask God for certain things every day. And one of them is that, Lord, lead me not into temptation. I think I'm going to get to heaven one of these days, and God's going to show me how many times he answered that prayer. You know what? I just directed you, and I caused this to happen so that you wouldn't have to see that. I caused you this to happen where you didn't run into this person, and I caused you to this happen so you didn't have to linger in this area. And, folks, I believe God answers prayer. And so I'm going to pray every day, Lord, lead me not into temptation, but Lord, if it's unavoidable, please deliver me from evil. And you know what? That's just a good prayer to pray every single day. Now, we're going to ask the Lord not to lead us in temptation, but also one of the things we have to do that's our responsibility is number 5, we must be watchful for possible temptation. We must watch for possible temptation. In Matthew number chapter 26, we're right there. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 26. We talked about prayer and the importance of prayer. Amen. And asking God not to lead us into temptation. But in Matthew 26 and verse number 41, Jesus instructs his disciples and says to them in Matthew 26:41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Okay, I'm going to pray that I don't enter into temptation. But Lord, I'm not putting it all on you, because you know what I need to do? I need to be watchful also that I don't enter into temptation. How do you not enter into temptation? Pray and watch. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. Why? Because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's that dual nature again. So I don't even want to get around a temptation. Hey, where are you going where you're facing increased temptation? What is on your schedule that you just keep going to or going by? What places are you stopping that you have no business being? And by the way, it's not sometimes a physical place. Sometimes it could be a website. Sometimes it could be a chat room. Sometimes it could be a lot of different things. I mean, you know what? Well, we can go to a place without ever leaving our house now. What is it that, listen, you pray, Lord, deliver me from this temptation. But we also need to watch. Jesus adds watch to the command to pray here. One of the marks of Christian maturity is a diligent watchfulness. Notice these verses. I'm going to read some to you that encourages watchfulness. 1 Corinthians 16:13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. Well, we all want to be strong. Well, we better watch. We better learn how to stand fast. We need to understand how to conduct ourselves or quit ourselves like men and then be strong. Colossians 4:2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. 1 Thessalonians 5:6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. One of the differences between immaturity and maturity is the level of watchfulness. We teach our young men this, but the difference between a boy and a man is his level of watchfulness. Boy pays little attention to what's around him. He fails to scan every situation for potential danger. A mature man becomes watchful. He realizes there's things that might harm the ones he loves, he's always evaluating potential danger, but it's also that important that he be watching for things that can damage himself. You know, a lot of times in a situation, you have to look ahead. And, you know, one of these things I learned on a real practical level was the time that, you know, I reference it from time to time. The Lord taught me so much, and he'll teach you in any situation you're in if you're open to learn. I mean, there's not a situation. If it's right for you to be there, it's within the will of God, you can't learn. But you know what? One of the things that I had to pay attention to and learn when I went to Bible college and then began to minister in inner city Chicago is you always had to be watching for potential danger. There's been so many times where in the type of neighborhoods we were in, we may be walking towards this block here. We need to make a visit down three blocks down this street. But you know what I'm always doing, I learn to do, is I watch what's happening two blocks ahead and three blocks ahead. And, you know, sometimes I'd have a brand new student that'd be going with me on visitation, and I'd say to them, we're going to cut over here a street, we're going to go down, and then we're going to cut back over. And they'd say, well, they live right down there. I know, just listen to me and do what I say. And, you know, then I would talk to them about it. You know, what did I just see that you didn't see? Well, I don't know. It's because you're looking at your feet on the sidewalk. You're not looking. You know, you got to pay attention. You got to pay attention to what's going on. Sometimes you had to pay attention to just the, I don't know how you say it, but you had to gauge the temperature of the environment. There were just times when in the ghettos, in the inner city situations where, you could just almost feel it in the air. It was not a good day. And there was a restlessness. And you'd watch the telltale signs where you see these group of guys over here and these group of guys over here. And listen, you don't want to get caught in between those two group of guys. You just, just go walking and talking. And next thing you know, you're in between a shooting match. And what I'm saying is this. Listen, that's not just true in inner city Chicago. That's true. Listen, we're in a spiritual warfare all the time. And you know what? There's some days that I can't explain it, and I don't call it a sixth sense. I call it a spiritual sensitivity. But there's certain days that I just wake up, and it's almost as if the Holy Spirit is warning me, you need to be on red alert today. And I can't shake it all day long. You know what? Aren't you glad you have the Holy Spirit that knows what the devil's up to? And there's days that I just can't get past that sense of restlessness, and I find myself watching, and you know what? Usually by the end of the day, I figure out what the Holy Spirit was trying to help me avoid. And what I'm saying is that we ought to also learn. Yes, we want to pray and ask God not to lead us in temptation, but we also need to be watchful. And isn't that what Proverbs teaches us? A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. It's in two different places, Proverbs 22:3, Proverbs 27:12. Young people, I'm going to teach you something, okay? Somewhere along in life's path, there's somebody that's going to invite you to something. And they're going to say, hey, we're going to go to here, we're going to do this, and man, we want you to come with us. And listen to me. There's going to be red lights go off inside of you. There's going to be warning voices go off inside of you. Now, you're going to be prudent at that moment. And you're going to listen to that still small voice, because the Holy Spirit can make you real uncomfortable if you'll, and he will. But if you sit there and say, well, if I don't go, they won't want to be my friends. Or if I, listen, you know what? Stop worrying about people. Okay? Man, I don't care where it is. If the Holy Spirit's red lighting me about anything, I'm backing out of that situation. I don't care if there's nothing in the world that I can see as a potential danger. I'm just going to listen to the Spirit of God. And there's been times where, you know what, I've just, we had a church, you know, place planned to go that day, and I just tell my wife, honey, we're staying home today. Oh, I thought we were going to do this. Let's do it some other day. And, I don't know. And by the way, think, wives, children, just let your husband lead you. I believe God gives a man a level of alertness over certain things you know what? Maybe a lady doesn't have. Maybe men don't have. I do think this, and I know it's true. Mamas have mama instinct and mama radar. And you know what? Sometimes kids, you know, well, mom's so strict and mom doesn't. You know what? They can't explain it, but they know. And you better do is listen to your mama. Listen to your mama. If she's not comfortable with the situation, I don't. Because see, I know you're 15, 16, 17, you're Superman, nothing can happen to you. But it's amazing how the Lord helps us in that area of our life. Now, twice in the book of Proverbs, here we are, a prudent man foreseeth the evil, hideth himself. A wise Christian must learn to foresee, use that word foresee. You must look beyond the moment and understand not just what's about to happen or what could happen, but the consequences if you let it happen. And so you look ahead, you look down the road, you change course if necessary. It's not cowardice to change course, it's prudence to change course, okay? I think I've talked to you about this, but ladies and young ladies, we live in a wicked world. We live in a wicked world. Well, I'm just going to the mall. Nothing's ever going to happen at a mall. You know how many ladies or young ladies went to a mall thinking nothing could ever happen at a mall or in a mall parking lot, and they were never seen again? And one of the things I would talk to our daughters a lot, I said, listen to me, first of all, when you're going from your car to whatever door you're going to, you shouldn't be playing with your phone. You shouldn't be chatting and talking. You should be looking at everything around you. If you pull up your car in a situation and you look around and you're not comfortable with somebody that's there or the situation around you, then you pull out of that parking spot and go find another one. Well, that I just feel so, stop worrying about, who cares? They going to write you a ticket for that? Okay, if you're walking towards the door and there's all of a sudden you look ahead and there's a group of people that's making you uncomfortable, you turn around and go back to your car. Okay, pull your phone out while you're going and call somebody. I'm just saying, if we'd listen, the Holy Spirit of God will help us to foresee things. But sometimes in our pride, we don't want to appear to be whatever, and we're more worried about what people think. I'm telling you, a Christian has a great advantage. The Holy Spirit will sometimes just impress you about something. You better listen. Whether you understand it or not, you just listen to it. That matter of being careful. That's why Ephesians 5:15 says, see that you walk circumspectly, carefully, putting each foot down carefully, looking ahead, planning your course, planning your path, not as fools, but wise. Listen, that's not a foolish thing. That's a wise thing to be careful in this day and age. All right, a couple more things. Number six, we must remember that if we fall into sin, now this is one of the things that helps me, insulates me against temptation and against doing the wrong thing. We must remember that if we fall into sin, we usually cause someone else to fall also. Now, this is a big thing in my life, and I wish it would be a big thing in everybody's life. Say, preacher, what keeps you a lot of times from of going forward into a temptation or maybe doing the wrong thing? You know what? There's just too much at stake. There's just, listen, you know, well, this might not be a bad deal. Well, maybe it's not for everybody else, but Jerry Ross, I'm just not going there. Right, listen, I play things awfully safe. If you followed me around, you'd find that I play things awfully safe. I'm not interested in seeing how close I can get to the edge. I'm more comfortable being, listen, if you're walking right on the line, right on the edge of the cliff, and you stumble, you may go over the cliff. If I'm walking 20 feet from it and I stumble, I'm not going over the cliff. And so it's not a show of superior spiritual strength to see how close you can walk to a line. It's really a sign of spiritual wisdom, how far away you stay from the line. So I just build plenty of space and plenty of barriers, and some things that I do people may think is ridiculous, but you know what? I don't trust the devil. I do not trust the devil. And so I try to be very careful in my life. Why? Why? What's one of those driving factors? Because what happens if I fall? What happens if I shame the name of Christ? What happens if I do wrong? And these young people, you know, it could have an effect on them. And, you know, that's what happened when Peter, the day he said in John 21, I go a fishing. You know what? There stood Thomas, and there stood Nathaniel, and there stood James and John. And there were two other disciples that's not named. And you know what they said? As soon as he said, I go a fishing, we also go with thee. And you know what? You may recover. You may go into sin. You may get it right, and you may recover. But somebody that follows you into sin may never get their life back. And, you know, I don't want to be responsible. I don't want to stand before God with that on my conscience. And so Peter was tempted to quit. But he was discouraged. He was disillusioned. He was facing an incredible temptation. Life hadn't turned out the way he thought. But you know what? When he made that decision, he influenced others. No man's an island. Choices we make affect others. You know, a Christian teenager who is faithful influences others to faithfulness. That's true. You see, I figure this. If I have influence on people, I'm going to use it in a positive way. Okay, if I stay faithful, I'll influence other people to be faithful. If I'm a quitter and I quit, I'm going to cause somebody else to quit. You know, it's sad to think that giving into temptation might be something that you someday recover from, but someone you influence might not ever find their way back. And I mentioned that. Let me give you the last one, number 7. We should remind ourselves that God promises a crown to those who overcome temptation. Now let's go back where we started in James chapter number 1, and that's where the last place we'll turn tonight, James chapter number 1. Let's go back where we started. But there's a wonderful promise here that God gives in James chapter number 1 in this portion of Scripture where he's getting ready to deal with temptation in verse number 13. The verse before that, verse number 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. And you know what? I believe that God reserves special rewards to those who learn the Bible principles, implement them in their life to avoid or overcome temptation. Everyone has to face temptation. No matter what you do to try to insulate yourself, sooner or later, you're going to have to face something. That's why the Bible says in verse 14, but every man is tempted. Okay? You have to face it from time to time. But I do think that there's some common sense things and some biblical principles that you can implement into your life that will help you not to have to face as much temptation and testing as you would if you ignore these Bible principles. So the Bible says this, if you'll endure temptation, you know what? When you're tried, you could receive a crown of life. Everybody's going to face something. I think about these 7 letters that were written by Christ to the 7 different churches. And in the second and third letter, second and third chapters of Revelation, and every church faced something. And every church had to face a temptation or a testing, but Jesus made some amazing promises to those who would overcome. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And so very specifically, at times Christ makes promises in the Bible. Hey, you're going to face some things, but you can overcome. And you know what? There's a lot of things that you're going to face today that you don't have to face if you'll put some principles in your life. But listen, folks, let the world do whatever the world does. You know, and again, listen, if you can live a clean life and you don't draw the same lines I do, that's fine. But you better know yourself. And I'm going to tell you something. Remember what I said. You walk that line and you walk along the edge of that cliff long enough, one of these days you're going to fall off. So you know what? Build some things into your life and some principles into your life that just keep you away from the edge. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, as we take these principles, Lord, and implement them into our lives, that you'll help us, Lord, to be able to live in such a way that's pleasing to you. And Lord, I don't want my life to be a discouragement. I don't want my life to be a temptation to somebody else, a stumbling block. Lord, I want to live my life such a way that I can be clean, and Lord, I can do right, and Lord, that I can be an encouragement, a blessing. And when I share the gospel with somebody, Lord, it will come from somebody who's not just talking it, but the best of their ability with God's help trying to walk the Christian life. And so, Lord, I do know that there's Christians, Lord, I remember things in my life, such a battle sometimes. And Lord, I just pray, dear God, that whatever, Lord, our people are facing their individual life, that you'll give them strength, dear God, and victory over those things. And Lord, that you'll please, Lord, let there be a day where we look back and say, you know what, God gave me the victory. You know, thanks be to the Lord Jesus Christ who giveth us the victory. Lord, bless our time now and our trip home in Jesus' name.